Hi, my name is Natalie, and I'm recovering from bulimia and perfectionism. As a child, I was rounder in the cheeks and belly than most and was called fat for the first time in preschool. My cousins were obese, so my parents were strict with food and taught me to count calories in second grade. I learned from an early age that I could earn praise, affirmation, and recognition through performance, which compensated for my shortcomings and began to define me in high school. I was captain of the swim team, class president, and a member of every honor society. My success gave me a false sense of control, but when praise from parents and teachers no longer satisfied, I turned to attention from boys, which inevitably failed because I wasn't skinny or pretty enough. So I started dieting at the age of 14 and never stopped. College made me cling tighter to control, and my desire for perfection reached a whole new level. I obsessed over achieving a 4.0 GPA, building my resume, getting elected president of my sorority, and keeping up with the gorgeous skinny girls that surrounded me. Once again, I had achieved perfection on paper, but never felt beautiful enough to be the total package. I went on a crash diet the summer after sophomore year, and when I returned that fall, everyone noticed. For the first time in my life, I was affirmed for my body and my looks, and I grew prideful of my ability to achieve perfection. I started interviewing on Wall Street, and my new skinny, beautiful self turned heads in New York. The CEO of an entertainment company approached me in the airport to model for his latest ad campaign, and I ended up on billboards the next summer during my finance internship. I was hooked. Addicted to beauty, perfection, and success. I was fearful of gaining the weight back, so I dropped another 5 pounds to give myself a cushion, and soon the numbers game began. 35 pounds later, I was anorexic and too skinny for size zero jeans. I knew I'd gone too far, but I was terrified of losing what I'd worked so hard for. When I could no longer control my urges to eat, I started purging as a means of punishment and control, and so began my decade-long battle with bulimia. Landing a high-paying job on Wall Street was the pinnacle of worldly perfection, so I thought, but despite the money, success, and beauty, I felt empty. I blamed it on being single and began using my body to attract men. I quickly fell into a downward spiral of heavy drinking and recklessness. While I had identified as a Christian from an early age, there was never evidence of the claim in my life. I was living out the path that Paul describes in Romans 1. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts. I spent a decade destroying my body, perverting the gift of sex, idolizing beauty and success, and isolating to keep my secret safe. In June of 2013, at the age of 27, I hit rock bottom. I had consumed alcohol every night for 60 days straight, and my emotions were completely controlled by men. I was disgusted and ashamed. While outwardly I'd become the total package, I was cheating my way there, living a secret life of sexual immorality and bulimia. One night, a friend and her husband told me I needed to stop chasing whatever I was searching for and start praying for it. I was desperate enough to regain control of my life that I stopped drinking, broke off all contact with men, and started praying for healing and a husband. While I had pleaded with God repeatedly in the years leading up to this moment, my heart was too hard to see him or hear him respond. But not this time. I was broken, alone, numb, and exhausted, and God showed up. A guy I'd been sleeping with months earlier invited me to dinner, confiding that he'd taken a break from dating to do some soul searching. He asked for a fresh start and laid out several guidelines for our new relationship, which included attending Watermark, starting a daily Bible study, and joining a girls' community group. I was reluctant, but his intentions were pure, and I was desperately searching, so I dove in. 2 months into our fresh start, Brad told me he loved me. I knew that nobody could love the real me, so I had to confess and let him walk out the door. Through tear-filled eyes, I told him about my past with men, including the fact that I'd helped a married man with young kids cheat on his wife, and then I'd battled an eating disorder for years. I squeezed my eyes shut and hoped he'd be gone when I opened them so I could face the reality that I was too broken for any man to love. But he stayed. He held me tighter, and he told me he loved me all the more for it. For the first time in my life, I felt the love of Jesus. In the following weeks, I heard the message of grace with fresh ears, and I knew I was free. My ugly past was nailed to the cross through Jesus, and his death not only paid for all my past, present, and future sin, but it made me righteous. However, in my confession to Brad, I'd withheld the fact that I still struggle with bulimia because it was easier for me to confess things of the past than the present. I wanted to fix myself once and for all for this man and for Jesus because they were both accepting so much brokenness in me. By December, I'd taken significant ground, but like so many times in the past, my victories were temporary. On January 12, 2014, a girl in my community group confessed she was bulimic and was starting regen the following evening. Because of her courage and authenticity, I finally found someone to confide in and seek help with. I called Brad the next day to cancel our Monday night dinner plan so I could attend regen, promising to stop by after and explain why. Confessing to him that I struggled with bulimia daily was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but it was the very moment that I truly trusted Christ. I brought my very last secret to light, and I fully repented. I attended Open Group for several weeks, and the fear of stumbling and having to confess again was enough to give me freedom over bulimia. Brad proposed shortly after, and I became consumed with wedding planning, so I postponed regen for more than a year. In 2015, I recommitted to the process and completed my step group last summer. Perfectionism challenged me the most in my recovery, as I kept a daily mental report card and punished myself for all the ways I fell short. I found that I couldn't extend myself grace without using it as a crutch. I needed to feel the heaviness of guilt and shame to convict me daily and repent, but it was a very dark place. It took a long time to realize that I would never fully experience freedom from sin on earth, but God does not expect me to. Had he healed me the first time I'd asked in college, I would have never experienced the depravity that led me to a true relationship with him, nor would I have understood his love for me through the way my husband loved and forgave my horrible, ugly past. Ironically, regen has helped me realize how much I need to remember my sin and imperfection to keep me humble and reliant on God. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, 8-10, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It took a decade of pain, isolation, and darkness to break me, but I'm thankful for my scars because they brought me to Christ, and my story has given me a vulnerable way to share my faith with others. My name is Natalie, and by the grace of God, I am recovering from bulimia and perfectionism.